Ready or not, here we go. Okay, we're up to the fourth parak. Remember last week we did the third parak. The third parak, for those of you who don't remember, was Haman convincing Ahasuerus, not that Ahasuerus needed much convincing, to go along with the plan to get rid of the Jews. So the fourth parak begins, U'Mordechai yoda eskol asher na'asa, v'yikr Mordechai esbegadav, v'yilbash sakva efer, v'yetze besol chayir, v'yizak z'alkar gadol amora. So Mordechai knew exactly what happened, and with that he tore his clothing, and he wore sackcloth and ashes, and he went out into the middle of the city, and he cried out across all his head. A few questions, obvious. One is, how did Mordechai know? This was a private conversation between Haman and Ahasuerus. How exactly did Mordechai get wind of this? So the Targum says, Mordechai yada al yada da Eliyahu kahan rava. Eliyahu hanavi, Eliyahu the Kohen Gadol. Eliyahu is a Kohen Gadol, is that true? Was Eliyahu even a Kohen? Was he a Gadol? Who was he? So Eliyahu, according to some opinions, is the same person as Pinchas. Pinchas was a Kohen Gadol. So Pinchas was a Kohen Gadol, so was Eliyahu, if we assume they're the same person. So that's a matter of disagreement. Yes?
But the end of chapter 3 says the couriers went out and published it all over Shushan. So that's how Mordechai knew, no?
Well, so again, it says that the word, it seems from here that he knew about it beforehand, right?
Okay.
Right, so that's point number one. So that's the assumption that somehow he miraculously knew about this. Call me Yavid Bishmei Maroma. So he knew what was going on up high. And he knew that a heavenly decree was made that the Jews would be wiped out. So the fact that he knew that not only was this decided by Ahasuerus, but God, in fact, was supporting it as well. The relationship of Eliyahu to the whole thing is actually supported by the Medrash. It says, "Ba'osa Shah, Ratz Eliyahu Zachor Tov V'Hala Eitz Olavos Olam." So when Eliyahu heard what was going to happen, that the Jews were going to be wiped out, he went to the Maros Machpelah and he started waking up people. So he went not just there, but the Eitz Ol Moshe Ben Amram. Now you go to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He also went to Moshe. How long are you going to sleep? Saying, you're not caring about the troubles, the calamity that's about to befall your children. All the angels and the suns and the stars and the earth and the moon and the zodiac, they're all crying out about what's going on here. And I don't hear anything from you people. And Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, you're not saying anything?
How does he know that?
What?
How does he know that?
He's Eliyahu HaNavi.
Oh,
Eliyahu HaNavi says this.
Oh,
I thought you said more. No, Eliyahu. That's fourth word. Otsa Rats Eliyahu.
Oh.
He knows. He said, why? Because they partook in the Seuda, the part of Ahasuerus wrote. Amr lo, Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. Im heim Avral, das HaKosh Baruch Hu, v'nechtem v'gzei rasam. Fanam, ma'anach v'yuchem lasos. So they said, if in fact they violated the will of Hashem, so what do you expect us to do? He said, come on, Moshe, you did this all the time. Right? They had the Egel Hazav, and you stepped in, and you stopped them from being destroyed. They had the Meraglim, you stepped in. You know how to do this, Moshe, come on. Moshe Bechiro, Alma Beperetz, Lefan of Hashiv Chemos Amehashchis. Matana al Zarazos, he said to him, Moshe, you always step in, why can't you do it now? He vol bonim ad mashver. Amar Moshe, kum yesh adam kosher b'osar hador. So Moshe, is there anybody who's a good man in this generation? He said, ah, amar yesh, there is one, ushmo Mordechai, and he's called Mordechai. Amar lo, lech v'adiyar, kadesh yamod hu, Misham u'betvile. He said, so tell him, Eliyahu, you go tell Mordechai what's going on here. And that way he'll be able to daven. So if Mordechai is davening down there, and I'll be davening up here, he said, that's good, but you know, God already wrote that they're going to be destroyed. If it was signed in tit, in tar, then the tefillah will work. If it was signed in blood, there's nothing you can do about it. He said, actually, it's signed in tar. Okay, then Eliyahu, you go tell Mordechai what's going on. So this was the backstory. So what was going on here? So what was going on here was that on the cosmic level, we were in big trouble. And Eliyahu HaNavi is told by Moshe, you better tell Mordechai, you better start davening. Because this is serious business that's going on here. So what does Mordechai do? He rips his clothing. This idea of Mordechai ripping his clothing is interesting. The Medrash says that there's a reason. Why did he tear his clothing? So he said, Binyamin gam l'shvatim likra. He said, because Binyamin, he caused it that all of the shvatim had to rip their clothing. When did that happen? No, Binyamin wasn't even around at that point. Good guess. Anybody? Correct, very good. With the cup in his bag. After they went down to Yosef, afterwards they found Yosef's silver cup in Binyamin's bag. And with that, it says that all the Shvatim ripped, they knew they were in trouble. Yes?
That was because of Yosef, not Binyamin.
No, it was because Binyamin was the one who got caught with it. But he didn't put it there, Yosef set him up. Doesn't matter. So therefore, Binyamin, right, now he's going to have to tell, and who would we have that is a descendant of Binyamin?
Mordechai.
So that's one approach. Now what happens afterwards? Now does he tear his clothing, but what does it say at the end of the Pasuk? Vayizak ze'akar gedolah umorah. And he lets out a great bitter cry. So, Savi Yizak Zaka. Anybody know where else we have that in Chumash? Who else cries out? Well, again, yeah, he's a Zaka Gadol Mar. Do you ever have that any other place? Come on.
This is our
close. When did Yaakov? What?
Yosef.
When did Yosef cry out?
Did Bnei Yisrael
by the
fire?
By the fire.
Oh, by Har Sinai?
I forgot when there were fires that burnt part of Machne Bnei Yisrael. I forgot where it was.
So Esav. When Esav sees that he lost the bracha. By Yizak Zak, he has the same thing. So it's very interesting. We've mentioned this word before, so I figured I thought it in once. The B'nai Yisachar, it's a Hasidish Sefer, quotes from the Mekubalim as follows. Haman haya Gilgal Esav. That Haman was a reincarnation of Esav. Right? So, to the extent that people like this Gilgal stuff. What? Well, who is Amalek a son of? Who is Amalek a descendant of? What? Esav. Right? In fact, Amalek is also a descendant of Esav. So it's interesting. So this is sort of the payback. Right? And what Esav cried out. And now, because of Esav, Mordechai is crying out. So, however you see it, on the simple level of pshat, you have Mordechai finds out what's going on. He goes to the middle of the street, tears his clothing. He's wearing sackcloth. He's crying.
He ain't lover al shar hamelach b'levush sak.
He only goes up to the gate because you can't go into the gate dressed that way. So that's how we read it on Purim, right? And that is the tune of Eicha, right? That with that, and throughout, now the word spreads. Every place, everyone, there's this great amount, there's a great mourning, there is fasting, there's crying, there's eulogizing, there's sackcloth, etc.
Yes. Were fasting already before Esther.
Right, we'll get to that. But again, this is just, it's more of a visceral reaction, that they realize that they're in big trouble at this point. And with that, it sounds to a certain extent, who are they mourning for? What? Themselves, correct, very good. Right? Right? What were they doing? Evo Gadol Yehudim, they're already saying Shiva for themselves. Because they feel like they're in trouble. The Beis Halevi is a very interesting comment here, which is questionable, as we'll see, but it's very interesting. So he quotes, this is actually his only piece on the entire Megillah. He says, So this is when Esther eventually, this isn't going to happen this summer anymore, but Esther goes there and says, you know, how can I sit back and see what the evil that's going to befall my nation, and how am I going to be able to sit back and realize how that where I was born from is going to be destroyed? So he says, why the double language? Isn't that the same thing? He says as follows, near the Gezera, what was the Gezera? We said last time, to kill and wipe out all of the Jews. Wait a second, what does it mean to be a Jew? What if a person would come up and say, I give it up, I'm not Jewish anymore. Zoroastrian. Whatever was the religion of choice at the time. Would that person be killed?
We don't know.
So the Beis Levi assumes not. So he says, very interesting. There's only someone who holds of the Jewish religion. But if he would give up his religion and join the Persians, then the person could get out of it. So this wasn't really as much of a physical threat, but rather it was a spiritual threat. Right? They're saying that in the event that you remain Jewish, then you will be killed. What does it mean, la'abed? La'harog ensin. La'harog is to kill. What's la'abed? To be a loss. So what does that mean? Right? The meaning is false. He said what it means is you have to lose your religion. If you don't drop the religion, we're going to kill you. It means to assimilate. That your Jewishness will be lost. I want you to be lost, meaning that there should be no more Jews. You can be people. You can be Persians. You can be whatever you want. That's that. And he gives examples, right, that it means shenavdu besocha umah so yunukarm. He nevavad the umah shleima yimatzu behem shnei yofarim. Me yikam mitzvah mesiris nefesh. Dainuk shem shabam v'gam yimatzik sash yazvu datim. He says, therefore, everyone's going to eat either or. La'avod, la'harog, or la'abed. Right? Either they're going to keep their religion and be killed, or they're going to give up their religion, they're going to be lost. So that's the idea, and that's why she said, I can't really live with either of these two options. I can't see my brethren being killed, and I can't see my religion being wiped out. Like, those are the two possibilities. Now, the fact that the option was there, and the people are sitting Shiva on themselves, what does that indicate? That they were not going to give it up, right? So, in fact, the fact that the people, instead of saying, Zol Zayin Azoy, okay, right, the old joke about the pirates, who knows the joke of the pirates? Anyone know what a pirate is? Pirates is a Polish landowner. So there's an old joke about there was a guy who Polish landowner. He's talking to his friend, and he says to him, "You know, I got the greatest Jew. He's a sharecropper. He works me. He'll do it." He said, "Nah." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." You think so? Call him and tell him not to be Jewish anymore. See how he reacts. Calls him and says, "Moshe, I got a request for you." He said, "What?" He said, "I don't want you to be Jewish anymore." "I'll go home. I'll talk to my wife." Parrot said, "We can't be Jewish anymore." He said, "If we don't listen, he's going to kill us. We don't have a choice." He comes back and he says, "Okay, fine, I'm not Jewish anymore. You got it." So a few weeks later, the parrot calls him back in and he says, "Listen, you know, I really don't care. You can be Jewish. It was just a matter. I wanted to see if you're loyal. I see you're loyal. You can be Jewish again." Moshe goes home and says, "Sir, good news. The parrot said we can be Jewish again." He said, "Well, could you wait a few weeks until after Pesach?" So here, people didn't take the option. Like, the fact that people here are sitting shiva on themselves are indicating what? That we'll take death over it rather than give in. Right? So the tzaddik, the Lubin, says, "Yisrael kulam hiskima v'kibul atzum limser nafshin al kiddush Hashem." They all say, "We'll die for it." That we should all die. And he says, what was the problem beforehand? They all went to the Suda Sachashverosh and they were willing to assimilate. Now, this in fact is a turning point according to this. Because here they said, "Okay, either give up your religion or die." And they said, "We'll die." Right, so the fact that they are having avelus at this point, this is the ultimate sign that the mistakes that they had made earlier have been corrected. Now the problem with this is the Mishnah Berurah sees things very much not that way. So look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah asks the following question. So on Purim we have several mitzvahs. One of the mitzvahs is to have a suda. Right? On Chanukah we have different mitzvahs. There's no suda on Chanukah. There's Chanukah candles. Now, which one's more fun? Imagine a suda, probably. So why? Again, these are the two rabbinic holidays. Why does one get a meal and one doesn't get a meal? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, well, there's a difference, right? Right? On Chanukah, it's l'halohodos. Why? Right? Except because he says that Chanukah was a spiritual danger, right? What did the Greeks want? They wanted us to Hellenize. They didn't have a particular interest in wiping us out, right? The threat was a spiritual threat, and therefore the reaction is a spiritual reaction, right? We say halal on it, right? We light candles, we make brachas, etc. As opposed to Purim was a physical threat, and therefore it's a physical reaction. You know, we drink, we eat, we drink, and we're overly merry. So that, in fact, is the Mishnah Berurah explains the difference how we celebrate Purim and how we celebrate Chanukah. According to what the Beis HaLevi said and what Tzaddok seems to be saying, the threat was the same. That Purim was not really a physical threat either, it was a spiritual threat. So there's a disagreement as to whether the people had the option of getting out of it. According to the Beis HaLevi, supposed they had an option, and in fact they wouldn't choose the option, and that was, according to Tzaddok, the great reason that they were saved, because they learn from their mistakes, as opposed to the Mishnah Berurah, who doesn't necessarily see things that way. So what happens? So everyone's very upset now. Pasuk Dalet Vatavona Hatnaros Esther V'Sarisei V'Agidula V'Tischalchal Hamalka Ma'od V'Tishak B'Godim Lahal B'Shas Mordechai V'Asir Sako Me'elav V'Lo Kibel. So Esther hears about this, and she was very upset about what's going on, so she sent him clothing that he should get dressed, and he wouldn't accept it. What was Esther thinking here? That when she sent him clothing, that he didn't have clothing? All what he had was sackcloth?
He probably would have a plan, and then if he had to come to the palace, then he had to
come. So, yeah, he could go home and get changed. You know, whatever it was. What? Right. Right, clearly she knew. I mean, everybody knew why he was yelling about it. So why did she send clothing? So in number 8, the Mishpat Sosav says, Adavar tzarach bir, harei lo chaserim begadim b'mordechai. Mordechai had a full clothes closet, you'll be happy to know. Im kein vada yesh lo siva shabavar Christ begadav. Avur, obviously, there's a reason why he tore his clothing. He was walking around with torn clothing. But near Homish Yesta, Vadli Havina, Shinigzer Gezer al Yudim. She knew what was going on. She said, listen, let's take care of this politically, quietly. Right, stop making a scene. No more protests. I'm the queen. I got access to the king. We can take care of this. Stop making a scene. She says, in fact, the less PR, the easier it is for him to back out of it. Once everyone hears about it, it's going to be hard for Achashverosh to back down. However, if only a few people know about it, then you have to say, listen, you know, let's undo this. She said, in fact, by making a scene now, you're making things worse. Said, this is not the way to get rid of it. This is wrong. Now everyone's going to know about it. It's just going to be harder to undo it. Right, he's a very proud man. Once everyone knows about it, he can't be seen as being weak. Also, you're making it clear, Mordechai, that you're opposed to the king. And that's further going to make him entrenched. So therefore, put on your clothing. Let's talk about this. So the idea was that, in fact, that she was telling him, no, I get what's going on, but your protest isn't helping at all. Your protest is making it worse. And he was saying, no, if you think that politically we're going to take care of this, not happening. But he's never going to back down on this. The only way that we have a chance is to do something maybe outrageous. Hey, Vatikra Esther Hasach, Misari Se Hamelech, Hashemi Lefaneha, Vatetaveva Mordechai Radas Mazel Mazel. So she sends out Hasach. Hasach is one of the how we call them? He calls them the chamberlains, okay, of the king. And say, go talk to Mordechai and see what's going on. The Gemara says, you know who Hasach is? Anybody remember? Daniel, correct. Very interesting. Daniel, who was previously in Bavel, is now in Shushan. Assuming that that's the same person. It's interesting because Tosfos quotes a Katari number 10, that Achashverosh Nana Harbish Nerag, the Ksiv Aygidu Mordechai is Divrei Asdev, O Kosov Hosom Hasach, Lefisha Hargo Haman. I'll show you Meshiv Dvarim Bein Esther Mordechai. Eventually, Hasach gets caught delivering messages, and Haman has him killed. So according to this, Haman killed Daniel. Now, it's interesting, in my favorite Purim book, the Purim in the Persian Empire, he points out that there is a tradition that we have over 1,000 years old, that remains to this day, that the kever of Daniel is in Shushan. That Daniel is actually buried in Shushan, which would actually work out well with this. Assuming that he is Hasach and he was killed by Haman, it would make sense that there is Kever Daniel in Shushan, and to this day, people still visit. There's a picture of it if anyone wants to see. Yes?
What's wrong with sending messages between two people?
Well, again, if the two people are sending messages to try the king, to get the king to stop you, then you're not happy about it.
Yeah, but she's the queen.
What? Why they call him Hasach? Why not they call him Daniel? The Gemara has two reasons why he's referred to that way. Your offers. It's the next line in the Gemara. Either what?
Wouldn't Esther protect him?
To the extent that she could. I mean, Haman is the Mishnah Lamelech here. Haman may be more powerful than Esther at this point. Well, she's not a member of the harem. She's
the head of the harem. I'm sure she's.
Well, she's number one ranked in the harem. I don't know if she's in charge of it necessarily. So that's interesting how that works out. So she's so Hasach, at least initially, is being used, and Hasach, according to tradition, is Daniel, to pass the messages back and forth, because the way he's dressed, Mordechai can't come in, and Esther in general can't go out, right? No cell phones at that time. They haven't even invented toucans and a string yet. So because of that, you need to have a messenger going back and forth. So Hasach goes out to meet with Mordechai, who is in the street in front of the gate to the palace. So he tells him the whole story. He says, this is what's going on here. And he even tells him about the amount of money that Haman gave over. Now, what happened to that money, by the way? And remember from last week? Pop quiz? Right? Achashverus did not accept it. Right? So clearly, if Achashverus didn't accept the money, why is that relevant? If he said, okay, he gave him the money and he bought him out, right, and that's why he's doing it, that would make sense. But he offered him the money, he said, no, thank you, so why does he have to tell him about the money? Right, so that's it. That is exactly the point. If you look at number 11, it says, Hey, Melishna, the Prashas HaKesa Tricha Beer. If Achashverosh would have taken the money, so we have known the reason for it, just for the money. If he says, I'll give you $1 million to do this, we could have said, I'll give you 1.5 not to do it. Okay, no, tachbulos, and then you know there'd be other ways to if it's just a matter of money, there'd be ways to undo it, because not that he particularly wants to do it, he wants money, get him more money, give him something he likes better than money. Aval mikhev and shema achashverus lohaman akesef nasum lach. When the achashverus says no, thank you, I don't need your money. Harei mucho shalom machmas kesef hu shehiskim legzera rak mivneishri. Shehaya gam huson eli Yisrael. So really, Achashverosh is also an anti-Semite. That's why he's going along with this. Then King Koshi Yosef of Atlas the Gezer. It's going to be much harder to undo this. Vezeru ves parshas akesev the kamar. So he says specifically, note, he says that he told him about the money, meaning the fact that he didn't accept it. What? Well, Mordechai knew everything, it seems, either from Eliyahu or some other source, but he had good information there. He passes on to Esther and says, now this is worse than you think. It's not that there's a bad apple called Haman. Achashverosh is a bad apple himself.
It doesn't appear that Achashverosh really gets punished for anything.
Well, we saw a lot of prakim to go. Mm-hmm. We can't make decisions in the middle of the fourth parak in a 10-parak book, can we now? Ves pashegen ksav hadasa sher nitan b'shusham l'hashmid nosam lo l'haros es Esther l'hagila. And he also gives over the paperwork that he had from Shushan, and he says, here, this is what we're up against. You have to go in at this point, and you have to go and stop this. So Hasoph takes the message and gives it back to Esther. So he said, well, take this message back. She says, you know that there's a rule that you cannot enter the king's inner chamber without an invite. And if you show up without an invite, you'll be killed unless he reaches out the royal scepter. And it's been a good 30 days since I got a call. So, why do they have this rule? So if you look at the Targum says something that you really would have never expected. So it says, V'shavis Esther Malin b'pum Hasach. So you send back words in the mouth of Hasach. V'amarei b'dano temal Mordechai. Tell the following one. Hello, Haman Rishia goza almeima achashveir shalo lamiel los malko ledarta gavva below Rishu. Who made this rule that you can't show up? Haman did. And in fact, if you go on, it says, who has to give you permission to go in? Haman. Haman is controlling who comes and goes. Now, why would he be doing that?
Esther doesn't have
influence. Right. He wants to keep the influence away from Achashverosh. He realizes, you know, you want to wipe out an entire people. They're probably going to try pretty hard not to get wiped out. So, according to the Targum, very interestingly, right, then it's not going to work. Right? So he has made sure otherwise. It's interesting in the Purim, in the Persian Empire, they give a much simpler idea. Why were only certain people who were invited allowed in? Right. It was to protect them from assassination attempts. Right? That wouldn't be Haman who's in charge. That would be Achashverus who's in charge. That's what the more standard approach is. But it's very interesting that, according to the Targum, this is all Haman he's doing to protect himself. What was her concern, really? So the Malbim makes a very interesting statement. The Malbim says, Esther said as follows. You show up there, and you're going to be killed unless he allows you to live. So let's say I show up there, best case scenario is I don't get killed. So what's going to happen next? So now I'm in no position to start making requests, because at the end of the day, he just gave me my life. So we say, oh, and also while we're at it, you can't really pull it while you're at it then. He says, if he invites me, right, so then I have a right to say, okay, so here's what my request is. So let's sit back and wait till I get invited. Because if I'm not invited, my one wish is going to be wasted on, please don't lop off my head. So, Vayigidu Mordechai Esther v'Esther. So, he gets the word back. Now, interestingly, this is what was pointed to earlier. Let's compare a few psukim here. So, if you look at Vav, it says, Vayesei ha'itzhasach el Mordechai erachovitz. Hasach goes back. Then what happens in the next time we talk? Then afterwards in test vayava hasach vayagi lemordechai. Right? Each time it's saying that it's Hasach who's going back and forth. This time it says vayagidu lemordechai as divrei Esther. Vayagidu, but there's no Hasach anymore.
Well, it was told. How do you know it wasn't?
What? Correct, but again, Hasach is not mentioned by name. Every other time he was mentioned by name. Right, so that's the background for the Medrash that says there's no more Hasach at that point. He got caught, and that was the end of it. Okay. So Mordechai, again, sends back a message. What? According to the Medrash, Gavriel Hamalach. If you
so
must know.
Yagidu, so it's more than one person.
Right, so it's Gavriel Michal, it actually says.
Oh, it's two.
Right, they send why we couldn't use them earlier and save poor Daniel? Yeah, it's a good question. But, you know. Fregnish Akash
Afamaisa. Does it ever say anywhere where how Daniel was killed? Or how he died? I mean, anywhere
nope.
else?
Nope.
Just out of the story. I don't
mean
here, right?
No. Right, the same. As far as there is no sorcery. Uh-huh. I guess the assumption is he died of old age. It wasn't for this. So there he goes. Vayagidu l'Mordechai d'Esther. Vayomer Mordechai l'Hashiv l'Esther. Al tedami v'nafshech imad beis hamelech mikol yudim. So Mordechai again responds. Again, Hasach is not here anymore. No mention. So don't think that you can just be quiet and get by here. So So it's interesting. One way to read this pasuk is, right now, all of Klal Yisrael have all said, going back to our previous idea of the Beis HaLevi, they've all said we're willing to give up our lives, right, for the bigger cause, right? So they're going to be saved because of that. If you don't put your life on the line, you don't have that guarantee. Right? So im hachareis tacharishi, if you don't stand up here, revach v'hatzola yamol lo Yehudim b'mokom achir, there will be salvation for the Jews from a different place. V'atu beisavich tovedu, and you won't be saved, because there are a point here where you have to really put your life on the line. Because the bottom line is, the bigger picture is becoming clear. Perhaps this is why you became the queen, which in hindsight makes a lot of sense, doesn't it now? V'atoma Esther l'ashiva Mordechai. So again, the ping pong ball goes back the other way. Esther sends back to Mordechai. Lech knos es kol ha-Yehudim ha-nimsoyim b'shushan ha-biru v'tzumo alai v'altochu v'altishtu shloshes yamim laila v'yom v'gam ani v'narasoy atzum kein v'chein arvo el ha-melech asher lo kadas v'asher avadati avadati. Gather all the Jews that are found in Shushan, fast on my behalf, don't eat and don't drink, 3 days, night and day, and me and my young women will do the same. And then we will go to the king, and if I die, I die. What's going to happen? A lot to be said on this.
Were those young women Jewish?
What?
Were those young women Jewish?
Not necessarily. In fact, earlier we said probably they weren't, because she had them working on different days so they wouldn't know that she was Jewish.
Right.
So they were Jewish.
Why would they have
to fast? Because she announced it. You guys got to fast. She's the queen.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be suspicious if all the Jews happen to be fasting the same days that she's making them fast?
Again, I don't know if they know what's going on outside with the Jews. I don't know if that's necessarily true.
I have one more question with Hatzak.
Yeah?
I know he's dead now. Well,
for sure. Okay. At this point, he's...
However, did Haman know that he was... taking information from Esther to Mordechai?
Correct.
So
it could very well be that Haman knew that Esther was Jewish.
So wouldn't he want to kill Esther?
It's not so easy to kill the queen, I think, without upsetting the king.
He was second in command, and you said he was...
Yeah, but the king's first in command, and they're married.
What?
I can understand the Achashverosh might not take it well.
Well, he knew that...
I mean, again, he has a bad habit of killing wives, but I mean, I think he's trying to get over that at this point.
Was he suspicious? I mean... Suspicious.
Again, there are definitely opinions out there that she had, at the bare minimum, knew the relationship. He knew the relationship that Esther grew up in Mordechai's house.
Did.
So that's the.
And obviously she's Jewish.
What?
Obviously she's Jewish. So
not necessarily. Not necessarily. Again, yeah, that doesn't have to be true. Yeah, it could be that.
Why was he so happy that to go to the. Wasn't he suspicious to
get there? We'll have to get there. Don't ruin it for everyone. No one knows that they're going to have a party afterwards.
Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. There's a Kabbalistic idea quoted by the Chidah that this whole idea of the Gezeras Halban was because of Mechiras Yosef. They point this out because what was the ultimate sin of the Mechiras Yosef, the brother selling of Yosef, the fact that one Jew could turn on another Jew. And that's what it said earlier, Am Mufuzar Mufurad. They're not a group that sticks together, they're spread out. And therefore, because they don't stick together, that's when they're weak. What's the answer to that? What does it say in this pasuk? Lech Kenos Goli, what is it? Bring them together. Right? If you bring them all together, right, that will undo the problem that we have here, right? By all Jews being together, that in fact will allow us to stop what Haman is doing. The Medrash comments. It says what? It says that you should fast, don't eat, and don't drink. So the Medrash says, isn't that the same thing? So the Medrash in Tilm says number 15, Al tochu v'al tishtu, me'ach shekosu v'tzumu alai. If you say fast, why does that say don't eat and don't drink? Isn't that what fasting means? Can you fast with eating and drinking? Now you probably had a better day yesterday than the rest of us. My tam amr kain. So why does it say that? El amr v'tzumu alai. Tzumu masha achaltem v'shisisem v'mishta achashverosh. Why are you fasting? Because why are we in this trouble? Because you went and you ate and drank at the party of Achashverosh. So therefore, I want you to fast to undo the eating and drinking. That's why specifically they have to do it. Now, and 3 days, so again, how long was the Suda Achashverosh? People remember? 180 days, that was only for the Sar. But what was the one the Jews ate at was? 7 days, and they didn't eat the last day because it was? So how many days was it? 6 days. So 3 days and three nights, that would seem to make up for the 6 days of Achashverosh. Fasting 72 hours straight is impossible. So Ibn Ezra says, Shlosh Yamim doesn't mean that. Ad Yom HaShlishi, only until the third day. It's 2 days. That's possible? Yeah, that's possible. 2 days, and beginning of the third day, they broke it. Interesting. We're not going to comment on any individual here, but do people look better or worse after they fast?
Really terrible. While they're fasting, it's pretty bad.
Right, so if Esther wants to go and get on the good side of Achashverosh, fasting's probably not the way to do it. So you see here that this was a great move, that she believed in God. She said, it's not going to be my feminine wile that's going to save us here. It's God. So therefore, she was willing to fast, which is a statement. So the first answer given to Ibn Ezra, it says, it's not 3 days, it's really 2 days. The Medrash says, Yach yutzam im laila v'yom? Can you really fast day and night? Shosh yom im shosh leos lov al yomeisim? They wouldn't die after that? 72 hours, you'd be dead. Ha, you can't kill us. We're dead. Oh, you masikim ibodyom. They would stop it. We would stop in the middle of the day. What does that mean? So the Aruch Haner on Yavama says as follows. That's Gemara Shisano Gimel Yom Gimel Az Betzufim. Achein HaMedrash Choy Kala Gemara. Dilan. Dezer Roshono. Hei Chayu Tzomim Shrosh HaYomim Lair of Yom V'lo HaYomaisim Elo Yom Masikim Ibodyom. That's what the Medrash says. It could be 3 days straight. Rather, they would stop. The Kavanas HaMedrash, what does that mean? Nearly, Shayochim Kol Raila. They would only fast by day, they wouldn't fast by night. Shachatan is Lachain, Ksiv Shlosh Yomim V'lo Reilos. Mad Ksiv Raila V'yom, aye, but it says day and night. How are you going to get around that one? Doesn't it say that? Hai Chayu Maschim Lesanos, Tainus Rishon, Hoyu Yom Yodalid. Shareb Yodalid V'tezov V'tezayin Hisanu. What day did this all start? We said, when did the Gezer come out? That was a Pasuk, on the 13th day of Nisan. So it said, Laila V'yom means they started that next night, which was the 14th, and they did the 14th, the 15th, and 16th of Nisan. So that's what it means. So he says, so that's that there is a Machokas. The Gemara says they went 3 days and three nights. That's kind of hard to accept physically. So the Medrash says it's 3 days, it wasn't three nights. It says three nights, that means something else. So it means that they started at night. Mm-hmm. Right? It started the night after the Gezerah. So the Gezerah was on Yud Gimel, right? We said she was cleaning for Pesach. Mm-hmm. Right? And then it went on to the 14th, 15th, and 16th of Nisan. Those were the 3 days they fasted. Now, that's a little problematic. Because 14th, 15th, and 16th of Nisan, what days are those?
Pesach.
Didn't they have a Seder to go to? What? So the Gemara talks about that. So it says, Lech k'nos ha-Yehudim ara shelo k'das Rav Abba shelo k'das o'yom. This was again, shelcho yom yom ad achshe ba'onesh v'ashe baratzon. So first thing he said, what was her problem? So we'll discuss this shortly. The first problem was, wait a second, she was married to Mordechai. She was living with Achashverosh. Achashverosh is the king. You do what he says. So the relationship up until that point was basically a relationship of rape. If a married woman is raped, can she remain married to her husband? Unless he's a Kohen. right, in certain cases. Right? But in general, so therefore, as long as this is going on, she says at this point, I'm going to go willingly to try to convince him. That's it. My marriage is done. That's one comment of the Gemara. Just like I lost my parents, I'm going to lose my husband now, she said. We'll see that soon. So with that, he said, okay, first day of Yom Tov, we're taking a pass on, we're having a fast. So Rashi explains, number 20, Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, Sharei, on the 13th of Nisan, the letters were written and given out locally. So they fasted the 14th, 15th, and 16th. And the 16th at night, Haman was hung. Hope that didn't ruin the story for anyone. The Medrash basically says the same thing. He just says a little difference. You'll see. Vatoma Esther Shiva Mordechai. Don't eat 3 days. What are those 3 days? The 13th, 14th, and 15th of Nisan. Is that the same as the Gemara? No, it's off. So they have already on the first day, it starts on Yud Gimel. Okay, it's a minor difference. He said, wait, we can't do that. It's Pesach. I've been cooking for months for this. We can't just all of a sudden have a fast day. Why exactly do we, what are we celebrating here? Salvation. Isn't that more important? So right away he says, you're right. We're going to fast even though it's Pesach. Now, based on this, the Aruch HaNer is an interesting question. He quotes from the Yaros Devash. Yaros Devash was Reb Yonis and Eibschitz. They were both from Germany, the Aruch HaNer and the Rebbe Reb Yonison, also brought at the same time. He says, wait a second. What's everyone complaining about? How can you fast on Pesach? So fasting on Pesach, that's a little bit of a problem. But it's not just that you're fasting. That means you're not eating matzah. You're not drinking the 4 cups. You're not eating. These are real mitzvahs. So what's he complaining about the fasting? Fasting's a halbatzar, the fact that you're skipping all the major mitzvahs. So he says, no, if you tell me that the answer is, like the Medrash said, that they fasted by day and they ate by night, then in fact they had a Seder. That's the only problem was fasting. The problem wasn't that you were skipping matzah because they weren't. Now, of course, that's only according to the Medrash. Our Gemara disagrees with that.
Maybe it was denying bread.
You think... I don't know. I don't know. Such a great trick.
I guess Esther did not.
She got me saying, this year I want you not to eat kabrux.
Esther not keep Pesach because she had a party? Or she served matzah?
I don't know. I mean, no one caught on. People in Oberlander's cookies and no one caught on to anything.
Hey.
I'm not knocking the Oberlanders.
Wouldn't it be suspicious if she served
a matzah? Matzah bride! It's interesting. So on this issue that they're going to have to get divorced now, Tosfos asks, wait a second. If they knew this was going to happen, why didn't Mordechai officially give a get to Esther? Then she wouldn't be married at the time she has her relationship with Ahasuerus, and then they can get remarried afterwards. What?
They can get remarried afterwards?
Yeah, unless he's a Kohen. What? No, Mordechai meant.
Oh, Mordechai.
Well, he is a Jew, but was he a Kohen?
No,
because he was from Binyamin. Very few people from Binyamin are Kohen. So he said, why couldn't you do that? So he said, the reason Tosfos says they didn't do that is because you give a get, there's going to be Edom, people are going to hear about it, Ahasuerus is going to figure it out. So the Rashba says, nah, you can do this quietly. So he says, whatever. He says, it's a medrash. Just ignore it. Leave it be.
I thought, wrongfully, that if you're married and then you marry somebody else, you can't be married.
Well, you can if you marry somebody else.
Well, I'm saying, so what was she doing with Ahasuerus? They were just living together?
Yeah, you can't marry a non-Jew.
Well, I don't know what she's... I mean,
I think you have a good idea what she was doing. I mean, there's children here. So halacha, you cannot marry a non-Jew.
It's common law.
Right.
They're married according to Persian law, not...
Right. Now, you should know... So it's very interesting. If a woman lives with a man while she's married to a man, in order to save her life or to save someone else's life, is she allowed to remain married to her husband? So believe it or not, over the years, there have been such cases like that, you know, where people attack and a woman comes forward and says, oh, well, you're killing everybody. Come, let's step in the back room. And with that, they save everybody. Can she remain married? So the Beis Shmuel quotes him here, no, even though what she did was very admirable, still not. So it says in number 25, Im zinsa baratzon kadei lahatzol nefashos ku'uvda de Esther, if she did to save lives like Esther did, la'achas reis, asur lebala kemen shebiya hay baratzon. Ultimately, she did it willingly, so that is a problem. So not everyone agrees with this, but the Gemara seems to be very clear that way in these cases.
What if I give her to...
So what's the difference? Right. Mordechai understood what was going on. I mean, if a husband would give his wife over to someone else, that would make it okay?
No, but I'm just saying, did Mordechai...
Oh, Mordechai knew exactly what was going on here.
So
yes? That's a good question. That's very related to this. Right? So the answer probably yes. If you're supposed to die yourself, you probably can't save someone else's life that way.
It's accepted then that Mordechai was married. That's the general.
Yes, that's what we've been going
with.
She
was in that Arad.
Right. Gemara definitely goes with that assumption. Now again, so that means kasher avadati. Avadati means that, okay, here it goes. Now, the simple understanding is what the Targum says, number 26. Kadein ovid min chaye alma hadein, begin pork and Yisrael. I'm willing to die to save Klal Yisrael. Kasher avadati advadati means that that's it, you know. My life is on the line, and then, so if this is the end, this is the end. Last pasuk, yudzayin vayavor Mordechai v'yask kol asher tzivsol of Esther. So Mordechai says, okay, I'll get everyone to fast. That's what we're going to do. So we finished Perek Daled and we have a plan. Let's see if it's going to work.